At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
There's no perfect way to live your 20s. You either live them up and become an underskilled 30-year-old, or you work them up and become an underlived 30-year-old. You just have to figure out which you'd rather be, accept the trade-offs, and know that there are no do-overs.
There are more people that I have met in my life who are dissatisfied by their live-it-up 20s than dissatisfied by their work-it-up 20s. Because most of the time in your 20s, you have no idea what you want. But knowing what you need to do to work and move ahead is fairly straightforward.
You can choose a life of ease and comfort, or you can choose a life of service and adventure. Which one of those, when you're 90 years old, are you going to be more proud of?
One of the most important things you have in your life is time. It's one of your greatest assets, or it's your liability. And being, I just turned 70, and I have friends who have nothing.
You should give your life to work. Work is a respectable thing. But if you can find the things that you love to do, right, then it doesn't feel like work. And that's the big exchange, right? What should we give our energy to? Market research, developing a plan, feedback, and then iterate and refine. It's super important that as a business owner, as an employee, as a human being that has a desire to reach some goal, that we get into a place where we understand we just have to put in the time.
The only ways we can create wealth is by making that hour worth more. The second part is increasing your value. So if you think you're worth $1,000, but you're only charging $100 or people aren't willing to pay you more than that, then you can say, well, how can I become more valuable? For me, the three areas I always look at is the character traits that I have, right? Like, you're not valuable if you're not somebody that can deliver on the commitments you've made. So I think that you have to start with the belief you're worthy, but then you got to back it up by action.
Focus on fulfillment. Fulfillment is defined very simply. You work very hard for a set of skills that have meaning to you. You care about them in and of themselves. And those skills that you have worked so hard to obtain, they allow you to serve not only yourself, but others.
It's about taking one more step every single day towards the end result.
Putting our money in a bank, thinking that the bank is the safest place to have our money, right? That's probably the most dangerous place, because I always say a dollar that's not moving is a dollar that's losing. Well, because the more they print money, the more your money loses value, right? The more inflation goes up, the more your money loses value. So $100 spent in 2019, that same $100 now takes $109, right? So your money is lost. You need that
to buy the same thing. Money as we know it is fake. Our dollars are just pieces of paper. I grew up thinking that our paper dollars are like the holy grail. You want to save this money because it is the most valuable thing there is. As I became older, I started to realize that that's not the case. Our paper dollars are just pieces of paper. It's fiat currency, which means it's issued by the government, and the value is backed through the strength of the government. Second thing you have to understand is, what do wealthy people work for? Elon Musk. He's probably the biggest example of this. He never got paid a salary running and owning Tesla. He got paid in stock options. But the stock options that he gets or originally got were at $6 a share. So when the stock went up to $1,000 a share, and he was given millions of these stock options. Now, he has on paper a lot of money, but that money isn't in his bank account. So what he does is, instead of selling it and having an income, he goes to the bank and says, hey, I have these stock options, which are worth billions of dollars. How about you give me a loan at 3, 4, 5% interest. No bank is going to say no to that. He takes that loan, pays 3 to 4 to 5% interest on it, and if his company grows, his stock value grows by 6%, he just made a profit on that. He didn't have to take any money out, never took an income, doesn't pay any taxes, and is able to now spend his money, live free, buy whatever he wants, live rich, and not pay a penny in tax.
So if you're young and hungry, look around you and see what you pay for and what you currently utilize already, and then try to get a percentage of that business, if not buying the whole thing.
But I'm currently working in a job. I'm 25 years old. I've got, I don't know, $7,000 in the bank, £7,000 in the bank, whatever. What would you recommend my first step be, Cody? How do I get out of this job? I'm not a pro.
Tell me what you do for a living.
I do content.
Perfect. So if you do content for a living, what I'd say is don't buy a laundromat. I talk about laundromats. I actually need to change that. I need to like tell somebody I bought a different first business because it's a terrible business to buy. It just was my first one and it's very easy to understand. So I'm like, if you can't understand quarter, machine, close, clean, don't buy a business, any business. Just forget you heard me talk about anything. And so that's why I talk about laundromats. But if I was going to do it the pro way, I would say you should use your unfair advantage. And if you're in the content business, don't buy a boring business in the traditional sense. Look around you. It's something I call my personal P&L review. So I would basically look at, what do I spend money on already? If you're in content, you probably spend money on ad purchasing, right? You probably spend money on video production. You probably spend money on, maybe you rent a set space. You have all these expenses around you. And what if you could turn one or two of those expenses into an asset, not a liability, thing that makes you money, not a thing that costs you money. And so, you know, I did a deal back when I was doing more video production in my last company where I bought a podcast and video production company. And I did that deal basically for $0. I think I put $10,000 down for that deal that ended up doing about $300,000, $400,000 a year. That's what I would do if I was you.
You have to have a belief system that is both true and optimistic. Personal responsibility is true and wildly optimistic. And it is people's belief system and the value system that they cobble together over a lifetime that will lead them to reject that. And all I can say is reject it at your own peril for the following reason. Personal responsibility is about remembering you can do something and change. You can get so good at something that no matter how much people hate you, no matter how much they're training and trying to defeat you, they can't. And that is the most exciting thing in the world to me.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Why is it people that seem to work, some people that work extremely hard don't make that much money?
They're working hard on the work. They're not working hard on themselves.
A true rags-to-riches story, Dan transformed his life to what many dream to be.
I made my first million at 27, multimillionaire at 28, and it wasn't until I was 36 that I allowed myself to buy a McLaren.
A sought-after business coach, angel investor, and serial entrepreneur, Dan uses his massive social media platform to teach people the rules he wishes he knew before getting into the entrepreneurial industry.
It doesn't matter how much money you have, $100,000 or $100 million. If money is the primary decision you make a decision, you're a prisoner.
He shares his wisdom so others can learn from his mistakes and become stronger, better entrepreneurs. The question is, how did he do it?
Bank account and calendar.
Yeah.
It does not lie.
In this video, we'll break down Dan's 5 game-changing rules that could shift how you think about money, time, and success forever.
The 3 things that I would say that people who've created wealth, and when I think wealth, I think of like time and just like the freedom, is first off is they understand the value of their time. So, and when we think about the value of the time, it's not how much you get paid for your hour,
It's what do you think you're worth? So I learned a long time ago is nobody's going to get paid a penny more than they think they're worth. See, if you think you're worth $1,000, but you're only getting paid $100, then you're going to start thinking about your time differently, where you'll say no to things that don't even look remotely close to a $200, maybe a $300 an hour opportunity. See, most people spend time to save money. I encourage them to spend money to save time.
Rule number one, buy back your time. Dan believes time is your most valuable currency. Think about it. How often do you get caught up in tasks someone else could do? Outsourcing, delegating, or even automating frees you up to do what actually needs your attention.
The only ways we can create wealth is by making that hour worth more. But the second part is increasing your value. So if you think you're worth $1,000, but you're only charging $100 or people aren't willing to pay you more than that, then you can say, well, how can I become more valuable? For me, the three areas I always look at is the character traits that I have, right? Like, you're not valuable if you're not somebody that can deliver on the commitments you've made. So I think that you have to start with the belief you're worthy, but then you got to back it up by action, right? Like just being somebody that shows up that honors their word, right? Be impeccable with your language. Second would be skills. Like what skill do you currently have that's creating value? And is there a way to upgrade that skill, right? Marketing, sales, et cetera. And then the third part I think is belief systems. Mm-hmm. So think about like limiting beliefs is like, well, I can't do this. I've never done this before. And I know the person has those beliefs if I hear the language. And you know what I'm talking about. This language like could, should, it'd be nice.
I want to. Yeah.
Yeah, that language has the expectation of failure built into it. So that's the limitation beliefs. And then on the other side of the coin of the outcome is the negative belief. So what's the negative beliefs that keeps people broke? The rich people are evil. There's no chance you're going to wake up to try to be rich if you believe rich people are evil. For the goal, if you think the outcome is negative. So until we work through those beliefs, I've seen that's what I call self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. The biggest work I do with entrepreneurs is understanding what are the unconscious beliefs they have that are literally self-sabotaging their progress to winning.
Rule number two, what do you think you're worth? Your time is your most valuable asset. If you don't put a price on it, someone else will, and it'll never reflect its true value. As Dan explains, to grow wealth and live on your terms, you must understand what your skills, knowledge, and experience are truly worth, then set boundaries and charge accordingly. Your skills are your ultimate leverage. Sharpen them, and you'll see exponential returns. If you are finding that people aren't paying you what you think you're worth, you need to find ways to either improve and grow or remove yourself from the environment that hinders you. Remember, undervaluing yourself isn't humility, it's self-sabotage.
Think about it. Money is an amplifier. That's it. It's not good or bad. It's like a fork. A fork can be used to hurt somebody. It can be used to nourish somebody. It's a tool. That's it. So some people buy the Rolex because they're trying to fill a hole that says, I'm not enough. Maybe this will make me feel worthy of that affection. Other people get it because they understand the history. And from an engineering point of view, and a story, maybe their grandfather had one, they want to wear it as a reminder of that. Mm-hmm. Or, and it could be like, this is the cool part, is that it's not necessarily the thing, it's the story behind the thing.
Uh-huh. Rule number three, aim to inspire, not show off. The goal isn't to prove you're the best. It's to show others they can be their best. When you lead with humility and share your wins as lessons, not trophies, you empower others to grow. Showing off might grab attention, but inspiring others creates a legacy. Dan isn't the only popular entrepreneur with this belief. Other creators such as Gary Vee, Alex Hormozi, and Lewis Howes all believe that the reason to get rich isn't to flaunt your fancy cars, homes, or dream vacations. It's to help inspire others to reach their full potential and stop living small in fear of being noticed. Remember, it's not about being admired. It's about being a catalyst for change.
When people literally say like, well, I don't want more because I might make, you know, if I'm wealthy or rich, my sister might be upset with me. Talk to me about that. Mm. Well, last time I got a raise and I told her, all of a sudden she didn't talk to me for 3 weeks because she thought I was better than her. That's interesting. Let's talk about that. So I always go to three questions when this stuff comes up. Is number one, is it true? Comma, is it really true?
Yeah.
Is there a scenario where that's not true? And for most people, if I say, is it really true? They're like, well, no, it's not really true. It's like, cool. Yeah. Let's start there. Second question is, what would need to be true for that not to be true? Because that's another great question. It's like, well, I don't want to pay taxes. It's like, perfect. So what if you had a tax expert that specialized in making sure that you didn't pay a penny more to the government you had to? Would that solve the problem? It's not about overcoming that they don't believe it anymore is resolving the belief, right? Because again, people don't want to grow if they have a negative belief of achievement. So once we resolve that, then we move it forward. Now, the third question is, how old is that belief? It's not what you make, it's what you spend. Okay, which is good advice. On the surface, it's not what you make, it's what you spend. So you could make $1 million a year, but if you spend $1,000,001, then you're no worse off than somebody that didn't make any money. And the challenge, if you understand business, is that it requires an investment. Mm-hmm. And what happens if you make good investments, you get a return on that investment. And if you get really good in business, then the more investments you make, like when I ask somebody, like, how much do you pay for a customer? Well, I pay $10 a customer. How much is that customer worth to you? $100. How quick do you get that $100? Within the first month. How many $10 bills do you want to trade for a $100 bill?
Right.
So what's your marketing budget? Mm-hmm. But originally they'll say, well, my budget's $10,000 a month. I go, no, it's unlimited to the degree that you get that $100 bill for every 10 that you put in. Because the real value in a lot of businesses, yes, it's the profit, but even more importantly, it's what's the business worth to somebody else.
Now, if you're in trouble today, my message is not so kind. This is hard talk, not happy talk. The crisis is in your head. Now, that's the bad news. The good news, you can change the crisis by changing what's inside your head. And so I hate to brag, but I'm doing extremely well financially today because, as I was warning everybody, this crisis was coming. But it would be irresponsible of me to warn people of the crisis and not personally make changes myself. So right. The good news is the crisis is in your head. The bad news, it's in your head. The most important thing you can have right now is not job security, but meaningful work. So you and I don't need the money, but our work is meaningful. And it's our meaningful work that gets us through the hard times. So the good news is my company is sold out. We cannot keep up with product. The bad news is the supply chain shut down, but that's a good problem. We have tons of cash. I have gold, I have silver. And I do have challenges in the real estate market, but that's gonna make me stronger. That's my only attitude I can have. Otherwise, I just cry and say, well, the government should take care of me. I need a bailout. I need a stimulus.
So what can I do? I'm one of them. What do I do? Does it go back to employee, self-employed, business owner, investor? Like, go find a business, go start a business, go reposition yourself career-wise. You know, is there a 1-2-3-step process on what I can do to be prepared for it?
I have a friend in Panama. He has an avocado farm. So he's sitting in Panama growing avocados. He says, because people have to eat. Another guy's friend of mine is growing blueberries. But another friend of mine, he moved up to, he was from Seattle, excuse me. He had a big house. His kids all moved out. So he converted the kids' bedrooms into one-bedroom apartments. So he put a kitchen and he put a toilet inside his little bedrooms. And so he now rents out 4 bedrooms. He's making more money today than ever before because a lot of workers commute to Seattle. So they come in, they check in. They come in on Sunday night, they check out Friday afternoon. It's at a little house, he's making more money. So the point is, everybody can do something, but you gotta figure out what you can do.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Well, the reason the rich don't work for money is number one expense is tax. See, there's 3 kinds of income: earned, portfolio, passive. So earned income is if I get a job, that's earned income. If I'm a doctor or a programmer, that's earned income because I'm working for them. If I buy, let's say, Apple for $10 and I sell it for $20, that's portfolio income, capital gains.
Yeah.
But passive income, which is cash flow, is never taxed. So it's not, and so these guys are screaming right now in America, tax the rich. I said, good luck. Because most of the guys complaining, they don't know there's three kinds of income. And the rich don't have jobs anyway. They have assets. And so the average schmo out there, poor guy, you know, sent the kid to school, they don't learn this. So that's why in fake, as you were talking about it, there's a newspaper article about Jared Kushner, and he explains how the Trumps and the Kushners don't pay taxes and make millions of dollars. And the reporter couldn't understand him because they're not, our schools will never teach you that three types of income.
And they judged him and say they're wrong and it's cheating. And we see that over and over again, Amazon not paying taxes. What do you say to people when they come up to you and say, Robert, it's not fair. It's not fair they're not paying taxes.
Well, there's always three sides to a coin, you know, heads, tails, and the edge. You know, so which side of the coin are you on? From my side, it's fair. But this is the difference. Everybody can do the same thing I do because the tax laws are for everybody. You know, we don't say, well, the tax laws are only for the rich. No, the tax laws are for everybody to use if you have the right financial education. And the reason I'm an advocate of financial education, without that education, you have to pay taxes. You see, very few people will buy what I do, make $1 million and pay zero tax. That takes, and my rich dad taught me that playing Monopoly. That's how it started, you know, four greenhouses, one red hotel. Or the McDonald's formula, I write about it here. McDonald's, Ray Kroc.
Yeah.
McDonald's is in the real estate business. So they sell hamburgers, but they buy real estate, so they pay no taxes. You know, this guy Bezos, well, he's $16 billion. How much tax did they pay on that $16 billion? Zero.
And that's all legal. Anyone can do it.
Everybody can do
but
it.
But everyone, most people lack the education.
Correct.
So Jared learned about money when he was a kid by
Correct.
Watching his father, by watching these people invest in real estate, and said, wow, not only do you get to make the money, you get to keep the money. That's a big problem a lot of people don't understand. They, oh, look how much money I made, but how much did you keep? Because that could be half.
How much tax did you pay?
And so well, you always say, this is the law. The law is true for every citizen. You can do it, but most people just don't do it. Sometimes, like you said, they don't have the education, because you need to have a plan if you're going to go do risky things.
Well, it's not risky. I mean, to me, what's risky is having a job and paying taxes and saving money because they're printing it. You know, that's the worst thing of all. And that's why there's fake money. Fake teachers, because the teachers will never, they don't know it.
Right.
And fake assets, because Wall Street or the City of London or Lehman Brothers or Goldman and all, they're not going to tell you this.
No one wants to say they're afraid, because if you say you're afraid, then it means you're a coward. And I think that it only means you're a coward if you allow that fear to change your behavior in an aversive way, as in it not towards what you want. And so, you know, the inverse of that, many people have heard it, courage is not acting without fear, but despite fear. And I think that when you allow fear to change your behavior the wrong way, that is when you can give yourself that title of coward. And I think that that is a title that I have feared my whole life. And that label is almost, I'm more afraid of that label than the label of failure. I'd rather be a failure than a coward. There's a tweet that I love by Andrew Wilkinson, which is, every entrepreneur ever, colon, here's the winning number for my lottery ticket. And so it's like, every entrepreneur will say, here's the winning lottery ticket, but it's like, that drawing already happened.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Right? And so like, you can't cash that ticket in, it's already done. And so people say the word first principles, no one really knows what it means. I mean, some people do, but basically there are foundational truths of business that exist, and the conditions of the environment will change. And so you have to apply those truths to whatever the current condition is. And so that's what I try and tease out with the books and the stuff that I put out in content. But at the end of the day, you have an input of time, like zooming all the way out. If the goal, assuming that your goal is to make money, okay? Like, and this is just a purely economic business goal. Then you have time, which is the primary currency that you trade it, and you make dollars over a period of time. And so I tend to reject the idea of like never trade time for dollars or anything like that, because everyone trades time for dollars. It's just some of us are more efficient at it than others. But even exchanges that occur that just are not denominated in time still occur over time. And so you have this foundational unit of time, which you're going to give in. What we're seeking is the highest return on that time. And so there, you know, within a business context, there's kind of three levels of things that have to occur in a business. You have to, you know, attract attention, you have to convert attention, and then you have to deliver something for that attention. And so, which is, you need supply and demand to have a business, and then leverage to get as much out of it as you possibly can. And so when you're looking at the assets that you have, assets can also be skills, resources, what you have available to you. Now, if you have nothing, then all you have is your brain, your hands, and the time that you have that you can put towards learning something, which is why I'm a big fan of skill acquisition as one of the primary things that you can do is educating yourself. And not formally educating, but informally or alternatively educating yourself on super tactical things. Once you get over the fear, then you start asking, okay, how do I let people know about my stuff? And what do I let them know? Right? And so you have to have something to sell, which is the offer. And ideally, you want the offer to have as much leverage as possible. Like, so if you sold software or you sold media, those are things that you can cut once, sell 1,000 times. If you have a conversion mechanism, it's like you can't have it be automated, like a checkout page or some sort of video sales letter or something like that, where people just buy without a phone salesperson. If you add a phone salesperson, there's less leverage. Not to say that's wrong, but you want to have the highest leverage opportunity. And then from the deliverability perspective, I kind of talked about deliverability first, but from the advertising perspective, if you reach out to people one-on-one, that's lower leverage than being able to make one piece of content that a million people see, right? And so over time, you go from low leverage to high leverage, where you have the same inputs, but you just get significantly more for your output. And that fundamentally is like, if we're reasoning out from first principles, how do I get, said differently, the question someone I think is really asking is, how do I get the most for what I put in? And you have to reason within your current context of your skills and your resources and your assets in order to derive that solution for you. Business ideas typically have come from one of three P's. So it comes from a pain that you're currently experiencing, a past profession, so the thing that you just quit or some of the jobs that you just quit, or a passion. So something that you're inherently interested in that you would spend your time doing anyways, some skill that you learned while you were in the workforce, which by the way is one of the most proven ways of making money, because the economy has already showed you that people are willing to exchange money for that specific job. And so in the world of gig economies and solopreneurs, every business can be dismantled into just jobs being done, and all of those jobs can be fractionalized. So anybody, like, we look at any business, you've got sales, you've got marketing, you've got customer success, you've got customer support if you want to differentiate that, you've got product, you've got design, you've got web pages. There's so many different components to a business. You just need to learn one of them. And then it's like, boom, you have a skill that you can trade for money that you don't have anybody else to report to. And then pain is usually, I think, in some ways, sometimes one of the biggest drivers is like you had an eating allergy and you couldn't find pancakes that dealt with your specific eating allergy. And you bet that there's a decent amount of other people with that allergy that also like pancakes. And so then you make pancakes that are delicious and amazing that also cater to people with that food allergy. And then all of a sudden, like, you have a business based on pain.
And why does that matter?
I think that deep knowledge of the prospect is paramount or very important for creating exceptional products. And you can either do that by doing a ton and ton of research or by being the prospect. I met the guy who invested in Regal Cinemas, which is probably the biggest chain in the US. And it was when there was a guy who had just one theater, and it became, now obviously COVID has disrupted that business, but you know, for 20 years or whatever, they crushed. And he said, it was so weird to say that, oh, cinemas are gonna make a comeback, because they'd kind of been on a downturn or something like that during the time that he was making the investment. And he said, the reason I decided to invest in it was because this guy knew everything about the business down to how much the cost of a kernel of popcorn was. And he just knew it so, like, the back of his hand, that he was like, this guy can't fail. Like, he just knows too much about this business to not have it work. And so he ended up investing in, making a gazillion dollars. And so, but I think that deep understanding. And if you look at all of these, the passion things, you'll have deep understanding because you're spending all of your discretionary time pursuing this passion. The pain, you have a deep understanding of the problem and the prospects going through it because you've experienced it probably for years. Now, the professional one, I would say, is a bit of a shortcut because if you're quitting the job because you don't like it, mm-hmm. and then you say, I'm now going to do this for myself, well, you're okay. the one proven point about that is that one is proven to work from an economic perspective. You will be able to make money doing that because you already have made money doing it. I was talking to on one of the future episodes of Mozutank that's coming out. We have a guy who's he loves Dungeons and Dragons. So he's an IT guy and just loves Dungeons and Dragons. And he was like, I just want this to make enough money that I don't have to do IT anymore. But it was so pure, you know what I mean? And so I was like, we're going to help you do this. And so we kind of walked through the business plan for it. But like, is he going to be a billionaire? No, but I also don't think that's his goal. And so I think being really clear on what you want is important. So if you're like, I want to be the richest person in the world, I think it's a terrible goal. But if you want that, great. Well, you have to have a multi-trillion dollar idea because by the time that occurs, there's already multi-trillion dollar companies now. So you've got to be looking at like deca-trillion dollar opportunity. And so believe it or not, basically the bigger the goal, the narrower the scope of the path to get there. If you're like, I want to make $10 million, I'm like, you can literally do that in almost any business. Mm. You want to make $100 million? Probably still almost any business you can do it. On a long enough time horizon, you can do it. A trillion or deca-trillion, it's going to be some sort of tech. It's probably going to have some sort of AI. And so you get, basically, the bigger the goal is, the narrower the scope of how to get there. But the vast majority of people are like, I want to be the richest man in the world, just because they don't know how to like really think through it. And be like, all right, well, after like 100, there's really nothing you can't do except buy more big things. But like in terms of your actual consumption, maybe even 20. Is like, you can only eat at restaurants that go so expensive. You can only stay at the best hotels. You can only drive the nicest cars. You can do that with about 25 million. What's crazy is delay discounting happens both ways. Like, so you set your alarm for 5 a.m. at night and you're like, I'm gonna wake up at 5. But that's because you're delaying the pain of waking up. And when it's immediate, you know, I have to quit the job. Like, I'll quit my job tomorrow for 20 years. And so it's just like, we delay the fact that we're going to be miserable into the present we massively discount what a whole lifetime of misery would be. It can't reason the logic chain of causation and causality of what's going to happen next in a chain of events. Mm-hmm. And so when you get into the specific of it, all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm not going to be homeless and then shamed and die. I might live in inferior living conditions for a short period, which, by the way, when you're later on in your life, you'll look back and think of as the good old days, because I can't believe I was couch surfing, I was pursuing my dreams, right? It's only like in the moment that it feels bad. When you look back, like even, I find this hilarious, like how long after you do something embarrassing is it funny? Right? Like at some point for almost all of us, with enough time, the shameful experience becomes funny. And so if it is going to become funny eventually, it might as well become funny now. Also, logic downside risk here. I'll have a story and I can always get my job back. Okay. And if I can't get that job back, I'll have other ones that will be available. Fine. And if I have a downgrading and some people think that I'm not as successful as them, okay. I'll not stop though. Like, and you just kind of play it out and you're like, okay, I think I have like most of these conditions prepared for. Mm. And then all of a sudden you can like have those things.
The first thing I did is I looked for anomalies in the federal bidding process for federal products. I saw there was the refineries across the United States were only 60% being used. And yet there was a jet fuel shortage with the US Air Force. So I put two and two together, I connected the dots, and I bid on federal contracts. And the first year in business, I did $50,540,000 in business with one employee, me. And then when I had that money, I went out and I sought oil and gas partners, drilling for oil and gas. And so I continued to build. Well, I bought an option on oil and gas properties for $60,000, and I turned it into $160 million in 99 days. From there, I was overnight success. And so I took it public and I grew the company, up to about $500 million, Then the shareholders threw me out. They threw me out with a lot of money. So I didn't cry. Don't feel sorry for me. I decided I wanted to do something else, because I already was ostensibly pretty rich. And I tried to teach university for a year. I found that very unfulfilling. The system that was devised 70 years ago after World War II, you go to work with a company, you work 30, 40, 45 years, you get a pension, and you can live in a picket house with 2.4 dogs, 6.4 grandchildren, and hopefully your original wife. Well, that model is dead. That is impossible anymore. And on top of it, you have $150,000 to $250,000 in debt for going to school. And some kids will be 45 years old and still be paying off student debt. Boy, that's a load of crap. Down deep in your soul, you know there is no get-rich-quick scheme that's legal. So for a millennial, it sounds trite, something they believe in. If you change a billion lives, you'll get wealthy. What do you believe in enough to quit your job to try to change a billion lives?
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
And so I think a lot of people, they don't want to be uncomfortable. They don't want to get out of their comfort zone. And the only way we grow and learn is by stretching ourselves and getting out of our comfort zone, even by a little bit. You know, Emerson said, this is not the exact quote, but something to the effect of, if you're not facing something you fear every day, you don't understand the secret of life. Because that's where growth and transformation happens.
Yeah.
So, and I hate making mistakes just like everybody else. I hate failing, but that's where we learn the most. If we can take the lesson of the failure and take the lesson of the mistake and learn from it, then we get much smarter. I came across a study, and it was a study of centenarians, people that had lived over 100, and they wanted to find what were the common denominators, and they found three. And one was they had a sense of purpose. It didn't matter how big or small, but they had a sense of purpose. Number two, they were optimistic. And number three was resiliency, how well you come back from a setback. When you hit that wall, do you fall down? Do you get up? Do you go through it? And I'm like, those seem like the three characteristics of a good entrepreneur to me. Sense of purpose, optimistic, and resilient. If you're not resilient and you can't persevere, do not become an entrepreneur. Do not do it. It'll be an exercise in futility.
Is it not for everyone?
It's not for everyone.
Right.
No.
But I do think that if people try it, they'll learn a lot about themselves very quickly.
Yes.
And if you can do it, you know, like you said, part-time.
Yeah.
It's a great way to learn.
Yeah, because then I think you'll make better decisions because you kind of have the safety net of your paycheck. So the decision, so when Robert and I started the Rich Dad Company, we had a vow that every decision we made would not be a decision for what put money in our pocket, but for what furthered the mission. That was the vow. And at that time we were financially free, so we had that cushion. We didn't have to worry about that. But a lot of people I see, they quit their job, they start their part-time business, and because they're struggling for money, they make bad decisions because they're just trying to find how to put money in their pocket to keep their business alive. So I think if you are an employee, that's a smart way to go, which you just said, to start a part-time business, start learning what it takes. The reality, you got to get the reality of what it takes.
Talk about that. Because you get the paycheck and then you're waiting for the next paycheck.
Yes.
What does that do for the entrepreneurial spirit?
Oh, kills it. Absolutely kills it. And a lot of people are addicted to that paycheck. They're so afraid to venture out on their own and not have the security of that paycheck. You know, a lot of times we say, if you have a full-time job, keep your full-time job, start a part-time business and work it and work it and work it. Look at what you do in your spare time. And people go, I have no spare time. Well, yes, you do. If you broke it out, how much are you watching TV? How much are you on your iPhone, playing video games, doing things that really are not important? And take that time and channel it into the business that you want to create. And it's not about do what you love and the money will follow. It's not that. It's do what you love. Where's the problem you're solving? Where can you be a contribution? Then you work your butt off, and then the money will come.
Amen. I can agree with that.
I like thinking of making a contribution versus just selling a product.
Right, right.
And I'll say one other thing. A lot of people say, you know, I really want to make a difference in the world, and I think my product or my service is going to make that difference. But they're not willing to charge money for it or really turn it into a business. If you've got a product or service and you really feel it's going to help people and help the masses, then you have a responsibility to make your business successful so that people hear about you and to get it out to the world.
There's more confusion about motivation and positive thinking than just about anything that I have ever encountered. Positive thinking won't let you do anything. I get so annoyed when I hear some people enthusiastically stand up and say, man, with positive thinking, you can just do anything. Just believe it, and man, think about it positive enough, you can do it.
You got to put something in before you can get anything out. So many times, you know, the employee goes to the employer and says, give me a raise, then I'll start coming to work on time. Or so many times, they will come to him and say, make me the boss. Now, I know I haven't been here very long, don't really deserve to be the boss, but I just function better when I am in charge of things. You reward me now, and then I promise you, I'll learn what this business is all about later on. Reward me now, and I'll produce later. It doesn't work that way. Can't you just see a youngster in school saying, teacher, if I take a failing grade home, my parents are going to skin me alive. Pass me on this quarter, and next time, I'll study more than anybody else. Reward me now, I'll produce later. It doesn't work that way. Can't you just see an old farmer standing out in the fields in October and saying, Lord, I know I didn't plant a thing this year, but if you give me a big crop this year, I'll plant more than anybody next year. It ain't that way, folks. You got to put something in before you can expect to get anything out. Well, he's just a pumping away. You know, that's hot. It's August. I mean, the question is just how much pumping are you going to do for a drink of water? And finally, old Bernard said, you know, Jimmy, I don't believe it's any water down there. Jimmy said, yeah, it is, Bernard. You know, in South Alabama, the wells are deep. And, oh, we're glad they're deep, because the deeper the well, the cooler, the cleaner, the sweeter, the purer, the better tasting the water. And isn't that true of life? Isn't it true that if you could become an MD by 6 weeks of summer school, that the rewards would be almost minimal or nothing? And how many patients would you have? Isn't it true that if you become a sales expert in 3 days of a training school, that the rate of pay would go down rather radically? Isn't it true that anything worth doing is worth doing poorly? Until you can learn to do it well. We'll never know how many kids have missed a college scholarship because they didn't study an average of 10 more minutes a day. We will never know how we come so close to promotion, but we grew discouraged and quit too soon. We'll never know how much more success we would have had we just had a little more pumping in there, and pump and pump and pump and pump. Well, finally, old Bernard just got disgusted. He threw up his hand. He said, Jimmy, there's just no water down there. Jimmy said, don't stop, Bernard. Don't stop. If you stop it, water's going to go all the way back down, and then you're going to have to start all over. The reality is, folks, and I'm totally convinced of this, this is the story of America. This is your story. This is the story of success. This is the story of life.
Wallace Johnson, one of the co-founders of Holiday Inns International, over 80 years old, tells me he listens every day and reads at least 2 good books every month. Alan Bean, one of the astronauts who walked on the moon, told me that the astronauts on their way to the moon and back, and please understand, these people have the best self-images, the most clearly defined goals, the most positive mental attitude, but these people were listening to motivational recordings on their way to the moon and back. What a delight it is for me to be able to say that some of the recordings they were listening to were fantastic. You need to feed your mind. Now, a lot of times people say, yeah, you know, when I'm down in the dumps just a little bit, I really enjoy listening because it gives me a lift. Well, I'm glad to hear that, but let me give you the most surprising news maybe you've ever heard. It's good to listen when you're down. But folks, the ideal time to listen is when you're sky high. Let me tell you why. When you're down, sometimes you grab at straws. And sometimes you grab the wrong straw. Also, a lot of times, and here's the real benefit to listening, it triggers your imagination, stirs up all of the stored information which you already have in your mind, and a lot of the good ideas then come forth. But if you're too down to accept them, then you turn away the very best ideas of all. Listen when you're up. And then with those endorphins popping, and they do pop as a result of listening to good motivational recordings, when you listen then and new ideas pop in your mind, it generates even more excitement. Here's what we've discovered. You need to listen at least 16 times to get the complete message. That's the reason I say listen to this over 16 times, because you will get all of it then. It will become a part of you. Let me say it again. You probably have been in the process of making decisions right now. As you listen, you will make those decisions. But as you listen over and over, the decision changes to commitment. And once you've made the commitment, then you will seek the training which will make the difference, because that means behavior changes. And when you change behavior, then you start developing winning habits. And that's what this is really all about. Step number 7, if you want to build a winning attitude, you need to take time, and this is probably going to surprise you based on what you've heard me say so far, but you need to take time to be quiet. You know, the average American sleeps 30 minutes too late every day. And when that opportunity clock does sound off, they hit the floor, I mean, in a dead run. If you want to reach your goal, you must see it, be able to smell, to touch, and to taste it. Know how it looks and what it feels like in your own mind. Before you can reach that goal, you see, it is true that whether you think you can or think you can't, you are generally right. Most people never dare to evaluate really where they are. And you got to know where you are before you can really determine your chances of getting what you really want out of life. Where we are we investing our time properly, using our resources properly? What will the end results be?
Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.